We're going to read a lengthy portion of Scripture today. We started in the beginning of John 6. We're going to read a large section now, and then even as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, another. It's basically the entire chapter of John 6, except for one little part, which is the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. We've covered that already. If you can't stand this long because the reading is long, feel free to sit. For most of us, we can stand. And as you do, listen to what Jesus is saying. These words come after he has fed the 5,000. This is the Bread of Life discourse. Listen to these words and be fed.
Hear God's word taken from John 6, beginning at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. The word of the Lord.
Father in heaven, we pray that your Holy Spirit right now would illuminate these words that you spoke, that we would be changed forever. Bread of heaven, feed us now till we want no more. Feed us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. I want to begin at the beginning of John 6, the feeding of the 5,000. If you would, turn there in your bulletin or to the blue pew Bible that's in front of you or in your own Bible. And I want to review briefly this miracle. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. That's significant. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Christ that appears in all four Gospels. It's one which we have heard since we were children. It is an amazing scene to picture, and I want to invite you there today. I want you to begin to visualize what it must have looked like for not just 5,000, but 5,000 men plus women plus children. The Gospels clearly present that Jesus, as he was seeking to care for and teach and perform miracles for these people, that crowds were beginning to press in on him. He was covered by these crowds, and he loved them. He sought to shepherd them and care for them. So that here we see in verse 5, as Jesus is lifting up his eyes, he sees that a large crowd was coming toward him. And then Jesus says to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" If the Bible has become stale to you, it's perhaps because you aren't reading it slow enough. You're not pausing and looking at a statement like that and contemplating what must it have been like for this man named Philip on a real patch of earth at a very specific time to see maybe 15,000 to 20,000 people gathered in this place and then to hear Jesus say, "Where can we get enough bread to feed them?" Jesus knows they're hungry. Physically, he knows that they have physical hunger, and he has compassion on them. He also knows there's a hunger that's deeper than a hunger for simply food. And through this miracle, he teaches us so many things about what the kingdom of God is like. Well, Philip responds, verse 7, 200 denarii, 8 months' wages, would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves. 5 barley loaves meant very cheap bread, bread for poor people. And there are 2 fish. The fish here in the original languages, you see that it's like a sardine. These are not large fish that the boy was lugging behind him. They're little. And Andrew says, "But what are they for so many?" What Christ is asking, what he's presenting, what the scene is with these few pieces of bread and fish is ludicrously inadequate. There's absolutely no possible way that these loaves and these 2 fish can feed anybody, really. But God, Christ, knows what he is about to do. And he says to them, "Have the people sit down." Interestingly that John puts this little phrase in there. "Now there was much grass in the place." Pause. As you read your Bible, pause. Think about what that must have looked like. Here's a place with much grass. Here's a good shepherd who makes his people lie down in green pastures. Do you see it? And here Jesus is about to do something miraculous. Real people were there. There may be 1,500 people here right now. Imagine what it would have been like for 15,000, 20,000 gathered on this green pasture. What would it have been like for them? They're hungry. That means mothers are wondering, how are we going to feed the children? Men are wondering, where will the food come from? They have been following Jesus, many times walking around the sea to go to the next place he is. They're exhausted. And he says, we're going to feed them. But how? Imagine the conversations taking place as word began to go through the crowds. Gather in groups of 50. Picture those groups. What was it like to be clustered in a group of 50 or so people? Everyone's saying they're hungry. I wonder what he's going to do. What is he up to? And then Jesus takes these barley loaves and these two fish and he gives thanks. And then he distributed them to those who were seated. Pause. Picture it. What did that distribution look like? Picture it. What did it look like as the pieces of fish and bread were being passed out? Verse 11 continues, not just with the bread, but also with the fish. And what does it say there? As much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. The children aren't eating and saying, oh, I wish there were more. The moms aren't saying, I wish there were more. They're eating as much as they wanted. It keeps coming. There's no end to the supply. This miracle really happened on a particular patch of this earth that Christ himself created. And these people are eating and there's no end to the supply of food. And this is the God that we're worshiping today. This is what he wants us to see. Each of the Gospels tell this story. Verse 12, and when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments. There didn't have to be any leftovers. Christ could have ordained that it would be exactly enough for all the people with no abundance, but that's not how he works. The means that were there seemed ludicrously inadequate, and now Christ shows that he's lavishingly abundant. It's beautiful. It is beyond what people could have imagined. They're full. And now the disciples, who have said, where will we get food for these people, are now not passing out, but they're picking up basketfuls of fish and bread. This is the Lord, called the bread of life, who gives us this table that we are about to feast at. What did it sound like? What did those people say when suddenly their hunger is gone? There was more than enough. What words were they speaking to each other? Have you ever said after a great meal, that was unbelievable? Anyone ever said that? I say it all the time. I love food. That was unbelievable. But really it's not. Simple ingredients. Put together by the hands of a man or a woman, something delicious comes out. I can see the recipe. I can watch it being made. This was the only unbelievable meal ever given on this earth. He multiplied it. He did it another time at least to 4,000. But this was the only unbelievable meal on this earth. Feel free to say it when your wife cooks something great. Feel free to say it when your mother-in-law prepares a great banquet. But it's not unbelievable. This is. Have you ever had a meal? After eating it, where you said to the people at the table with you, we must make that chef our king. They did. Verse 15, Jesus perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This was the only unbelievable meal. And he's the king. But not the king that they think he is. Jesus teaches, following this miracle, with these great words that we have just read, and we will read more in a minute. Jesus says in verse 26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? If you have never professed faith in Christ, it's likely you have simply not been hungry for God. Too many things that perish have consumed you as you've consumed them. And your appetite for God has not existed. But the Holy Spirit at this very moment has the power and ability to make you see that indeed you're hungry. And the only thing that will satisfy is this Jesus. He is the bread of life. There's nothing else that you have fed on that can offer you that promise. This day, my prayer is that you would pray, bread of life, feed me till I want no more. And Jesus, through his word and spirit, will tell you that's why I came. And then you are his forever. Do you know Jesus? If not, consider these words today. Some of you know Jesus. But like the world, you too have been feeding on things that won't satisfy. That's the temptation, this side of heaven. My prayer for all of us, I'm in that category, is that the Lord would continually remind us of his abundant blessing in the gospel. That's why we confessed earlier the way we did. May we too pray, bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. Some people here today have followed Jesus for a while, but like those in this passage, they say this teaching is too tough. Consider your words. And then consider the words of Christ, even in the question he gave to the disciples. And the disciples' response, essentially, to whom will we go? To whom will we go? This table is unbelievable. The only way you could believe that a God sent his Son, God, to die for your sins is if the Spirit, a gift by God, enabled you to believe that what took place over 2,000 years ago with this man Jesus on the cross, this bread of life, dying. The only way you could believe it is if the Spirit enabled you. Pray now, bread of heaven, bread of life. Feed me till I want no more. This table that we are about to come to is not a Presbyterian table. It is a table for those who profess faith in Christ, to be reminded of what Jesus did, that we might have life for eternity. It is a feast. And we should celebrate. Come to the table. If you have not yet professed faith in Christ, then this table is not for you at this moment. The gospel tells us to let the elements pass by, lest we would eat and drink judgment on ourselves. So take those words to heart and consider whether or not you want to be satisfied as only you can in Christ. And surrender to him this day. Simply say, God, save me. And he will. If you have struggled with feeding on things that won't ultimately satisfy, on food that will perish, and it has made your hunger for God light, little, perhaps even none, then confess that to Him now and come to the table and feast and be reminded of the joy of salvation given to us in Christ. As we celebrate this table today, we celebrate as a body. It is an unbelievable meal. It is a meal given to us by our King.